two separate trips before the autobiography was published. Nowhere in the autobiography does Obama disclose that his wife-to-be accompanied him to Africa on the 1992 trip. In the same section, Obama's aunt, Zaituni, confirms that his father's luck changed after he returned to Kenya and began working for the government. Mark, Obama's half-brother from Ruth Niedersand, the American woman who followed Obama Sr. back to Kenya from Harvard, tells Obama, "Barack Obama Sr. was dead to me even when he was still alive. I knew that he was a drunk and showed no concern for his wife or children. That was enough." But these clues about Obama Sr.'s alcoholism and polygamy are scattered in the third part of the autobiography, not presented so clearly that a reader would get the full picture easily. The truth is, no one will ever know, not when more than two decades and family politics fueled by multiple wives and the claims of competing half-brothers and half-sisters stand between us and what really happened to Obama Sr. before he died tragically, driving drunk in 1982. Said Obama was not even sure how many wives his brother had. Three or four, maybe more. The number of children Obama Sr. had is equally uncertain. Said Obama paused to think. About six, he concluded, although he could not say for sure. Whatever the real story is, Obama's family in Africa is happy to accept Barack Obama Jr. as one of them, especially now that he has achieved political success as a U.S. senator and is running for president. Barack Obama is a loving person who loves his family here in Africa, Said emphasized at the conclusion of the telephone interview. There is no denying that he has roots and family here in Kenya. He is an American, but he also has family he loves very much here in Africa. The American people should remember Barack Obama is a good person. If only America would give him a chance to solve the problems, I believe Barack Obama has all it takes to be the U.S. president. Michael Dobbs, writing in the Washington Post, probed yet another conflict with versions of the story Obama likes to tell about how his father got to the United States to study. The fascinating part of these stories is Obama's determination to connect himself and his African family with John F. Kennedy and the Camelot myth of the abbreviated presidency, as well as connecting to the Selma Voting Rights March in 1965 and the Civil Rights Movement, identified with yet another martyr of the time, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Why Obama would want to connect himself with JFK is clear. All Democratic presidential contenders want themselves to be seen as the next JFK. Why he would want to connect with King is equally clear. King, the only African-American for whom we celebrate a national holiday, became the embodiment of the Civil Rights Movement the moment he pronounced at the Lincoln Memorial that he had a dream. The problem is that the stories he told about JFK and Selma to make the connections are fabrications. They are lies with no basis in fact or reality. In a speech delivered from the pulpit of the historic Brown Chapel in Selma, Alabama, on March 4, 2007, Obama argued that he owed his very existence to Selma. A few minutes into the speech, Obama began discussing the protests in Selma and Birmingham, Alabama, which were instrumental to the growth of the civil rights movement in the 1960s. He invented some dialogue in which he mused, "It worried the folks in the White House who said, you know, we're battling communism. How are we going to win hearts and minds all across the world if not right here in our own country, John? And we're not observing the ideals set forth in our Constitution. we might be accused of being hypocrites. So Obama went on rewriting history to invent the complete fabrication that Robert and Jack Kennedy were the ones who decided to do an airlift that brought Obama's father and 80 other Kenyan students to America. Obama offered the Selma congregation yet more imagined White House dialogue, visualizing JFK making a decision he never made, the president saying, "We're going to go to Africa and start bringing young Africans over to this country and give them scholarships to study so they can learn what a wonderful country America is." Obama did not stop here. That young man named Barack Obama got one of those tickets and came over to this country. Obama's point in rewriting history was to argue that he owed his life to JFK. Unfortunately for Obama, research by the Washington Post's Michael Dobbs has set the historical record straight. Dobbs found conclusively that the 1959 airlift, which brought 81 Kenyan students to the United States, including Obama's father, happened before JFK was inaugurated president and did not benefit from any Kennedy family funding. The funding for the 1959 airlift came from a general appeal to the U.S. public that had been organized by the Kenyan political leader Tom Mboya. So Obama is lying to claim JFK had anything to do with bringing his father to the United States to study. Obama's Selma speech was also inaccurate to claim that Selma and the civil rights movement were responsible.